Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, we just finished up with Nick Caserio. Nick's getting a lot of react. People like the personal stories, man. I don't know why Nick diminishes those so much. As soon as he started talking about that apartment that he had, some converted warehouse or whatever it was,
yeah,
I'm like, man,
yeah.
I am in on this story. I need to know more about this.
The $538 biweekly, the...
I love that you did
Before taxes.
If you missed it, Nick was talking about his, I forget how we got on the topic, but we did, and it was very interesting. He talked about his first job in the NFL. The Patriots paid him $14,000 a year. And Seth's follow-up was, what was your first purchase with your $538 check, biweekly check?
It sounds like he was living in... I didn't want to make the reference because I know Nick has barely seen any movies, but he's talking about living in some dive apartment in Providence, and immediately I'm thinking Dumb and Dumber because that was same era too, you know? Same general time
late
frame.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick and Lloyd Christmas living in a dive apartment in Providence.
Yep. Nick wants me, this is a text, Nick makes me want to quit my Kush corporate gig and go intern for him. Yeah, man.
It is, look, it's a common refrain with a lot of people that have been through that New England kind of factory is that, man, they took a pay cut. You know, Bill O'Brien, it's good job advice. Bill O'Brien took a huge pay cut to go to be basically a glorified grad assistant for a year at New England because he knew that was the best opportunity. And that is, 100%, man.
Huge respect.
Sometimes for just in choosing a job, a profession, a college to go to or whatever, if you're really passionate about something, there's only so much you can do to overcome your environment in any given situation. So always be really careful about when you have an opportunity to choose your environment, choose wisely, because that will shape you to an extreme degree. And I think there are, despite the fact that New England head coaches or guys that have gone on to be head coaches haven't had good success, there are a lot of people in the front office and elsewhere and guys that got that opportunity to be a head coach, even though they weren't good ones just because they were at New England. It's amazing how much of a difference it makes.
Yeah.
The company you work for as an accountant, there's only so much you're going to do within any one specific company. You're going to be limited by certain things. Go to the one that just gives you the fewest limits and the most opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep in mind, like Nick, Nick is not he's not an old guy. He's a young guy. He's not even 50 yet.
He's younger than me. Yeah.
He graduated college in the late 90s. He got to New England before it was New England. You know what I mean?
Like he got there in year two, which is he got there right in time.
Yes.
You know, to where he can be a part of everything and watch the transition.
Yep. Someone said $14,000 in 2000 is almost $26,000 today. Yeah. They're really low-paying jobs still. Now, they may have bumped it up. The NFL has a different, cost structure than the actual inflation in society. Maybe they've bumped up some of those entry-level jobs, or maybe they haven't because people just want to get their foot in the
stuff,
door.
That's, I think, with Belichick. Belichick was famous for just kind of testing people and sometimes making them take a pay cut to see how much they really wanted to be there. And those are the tactics that Belichick could get away with because he was Belichick, but that other non-Belichickians would attempt, and it blew up in their faces.
Yeah. Oh, I know what led us down that road. I had asked him. I mean, I was really thinking about this week. I forget who it was. Somebody retired or left, or there was an interview I saw with a player who said, yeah, I made my money. I made enough money. You know, my goal wasn't to win three Super Bowls. My goal was to make $30 million or whatever it was. And they got out when they made $30 million. And that's kind of the gist of the question I asked Nick was like, okay, these guys, Nick and D'Amico, are all about finding guys who love football, who truly love football. Yeah. But like, sniffing that out. Like, yeah, guys love football, but do you love it? Do you love it to the extent that you've made life-changing money, but you're still willing to risk your body on a day-to-day basis?
And it's really, yeah, the part of, you know, like with CJ, the thing that really sticks out, and you can tell it's not just Instagram hustle or anything like that, is that he's a football nerd. And, you know, he just genuinely loves and absorbs and watches the quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks, and is constantly learning. And that's hard to really figure out how real any of that is when you're looking at college kids, because they know to say the right things and they'll claim that they do this and do that. But that's where, for quarterbacks especially, you know, sometimes I worry that people put too much into the meetings that they have with players at the combine,
yes,
and whatnot. Because sometimes, man, some of your best football players are the worst interview guys because they're just wired. The things that make them a great football player make them horrible in interviews, particularly on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with quarterbacks, though, they can get real information and a real good feel for how much a guy really knows football and how much he can absorb and everything in those meetings. And I think that's where I wonder how they felt about CJ. I wonder how teams, independent of the S2 score and everything, felt about CJ Stroud's football brain versus Bryce Young's football brain.
Like up on the whiteboard and just conversationally about it and stuff, and how he saw the game.
And yeah. I'm guessing they were impressed with both those guys, but I wonder on like the old school football scout, if you get rid of all the measurables and everything, how they really felt about that part of it.
I'll have to bring that up when we talk to Nick next time. What is it, middle of October? We'll probably, to next we talk to him, probably sometime, I would imagine, before Thanksgiving. We usually get him about once every few weeks, once a month. I'll have to bring up what CJ said to me in that event I did with CJ, where he said he thought the Texans didn't like him, and just see what Nick's reaction is to that. Like, you know, your quarterback told me back in March he didn't think you guys liked him. When the second pick in the draft, when Bryce gets picked first, I asked CJ what he thought, and his first thought was, I don't think the Texans liked me.
Yeah, is that just an offshoot of them playing everything really close to the vest?
It was, because he specifically brought up Nick playing things very close to the vest in that answer.
They don't let things leak.
They
and
don't.
Then people just, that's when the little nugget hussies who need their little nuggets start wantonly speculating about the Texans. Oh, the Texans aren't drafting a quarterback. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Go die. I'll tell you what, some of these sports writers, I got to ask Brandon Scott about this because he's an actual journalist. I feel like there's a lot of sports writers out there who think they're journalists, but they're actually already nugget hussies.
Yeah.
And but they think they're journalists. They don't even realize that they already belong to the streets. They're not. They're in it just to get. They'll just be a microphone or a megaphone for whatever the players want to say, as long as they give them some nuggets.
Yeah, I start to wonder nowadays, man, like what the definition of journalism even is anymore. You know, like
I had a conversation with one of the Buffalo writers who's an older guy, and he tries, like, he toes the line in terms of multiple sources and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's talking about how frustrating it is that you got all these guys out there that just run with, hear a rumor, throw it out there, and it's just, it's different.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I guess the definition of journalism hasn't changed. It's just how much are people adhering to journalism anymore. You know,
well, it's like, yeah, Schefter and Rapoport are not journalists anymore.
No.
Right? That's like that. I know that distinction is there.
Yes.
They're getting fed information.
Yeah, they're insiders is what they are. Yeah. And so that's what pays. You know, those are the guys that are making the big money out there nowadays. And they used to be reporters. We'll get to the receiver trades in the next segment. We're getting some good texts as a follow-up to our conversation with Nick Caserio. We talked to him for about 45 minutes. If you missed it, you can get it on the podcast. Subscribe to the Payne and Pendergast podcast. It's doing very well, but we can always use many, many more. So if you haven't subscribed, please do. Good conversation with Nick today. A handful of people asking this. I know he doesn't watch TV, but any chance Nick has watched the Aaron Hernandez FX biopic series about zero chance. Zero chance he's watched any of it. And I don't know that he will watch any of it.
I think I know just from our previous conversations with him, I don't think he really consumes anything of the stuff written about or done dramatically about the Patriots, because there's always going to be such gross inaccuracies and anything like that, that it's probably maddening to watch it.
Yeah.
So that one, if anything, if I were Nick Casario watching that, I'd be offended at the level of athleticism of the actors.
Yes.
I'd be like, you think I would have drafted that guy?
Nick, I need your scouting report on that guy.
Oh, that's that guy? So no, not that guy.
It's funny, though. People are curious his opinion on the various actors and how close they... The Belichick guy is really good. I mean, it's over the top, over the top, but it's pretty good.
It feels like an SNL skit in a lot of ways.
There you go.
Okay, they're not perfect impressions, but they're hitting the major stuff that's identifiable.
There you go.
What's the most common question that people are complaining we didn't ask? Usually we get at least a few. Like, I can't believe you didn't ask this.
No,
or that.
You know, we're not getting a lot of that I can see. I mean, there were people asking us to ask things that we ended up like asking. Like, people were like, "Hey, ask him about Christian Harris." You asked a really good question about Christian Harris.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's pretty good. Yeah. Thanks. I don't even remember it, but cool. I remember his answer.
Yeah.
That didn't make me feel any better. And I'm glad he pointed out that it did look there. Remember, there was a point in training camp where Christian Harris was out of practice for all of like 37 seconds.
Yeah.
Where he was back on the field and then he got immediately. The one that I felt better about, even though Nick didn't give us a definitive answer, was that I do feel like with Nico, it was, we're going to put him on IR because we don't want this to be a recurring issue, and we're going to let this hamstring. That's just me reading the tea leaves by Nick's answer. He didn't give a definitive answer, but I'm not overly concerned about Nico Collins coming back right now.
No, I'm not either. And I hadn't been, but you're right. His answer, I feel the same or better than I did before that. But no, we're not getting a ton of, why didn't you guys ask this? Why? I'll tell you what. It's Seth. They're 5-1. Yes, thank
you. Come on, everybody. Be angry at Sean and I.
It's a direct correlation. But, man, but we couldn't. When we first started interviewing Nick back in 2021, when Deshaun was still on the team.
Yeah.
Boy, there were people so mad that we weren't getting Nick to dish about Deshaun Watson and all. Like, it was rough, man. But that was a bad football
one thing. I didn't expect him to like claim triumph or victory with Damian Pierce's promising performance the other day. He said, you asked him about Damian Pierce, and he said, I think his first word was like, well, it's a week-by-week thing. You know, we'll see. There are still some things that Damian did a couple things really well in terms of some of the zone runs, seeing the flow of the linebackers and making a quick decision and getting vertical. A couple of his touchdown run, the one that he had up the middle on the cutback lane for like 10 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, those were the two instances. There were another couple instances where it looked a little bit clunky. So it's not like it was it wasn't a perfect showing for Damian Pierce, but it was way, way more.
Yeah.
And he was breaking tackles in a way that I don't think we really saw much at all last year. So that part was really encouraging, but they got to keep building on that.
Did you happen to see somebody did a cut up of Damian's run in the game on Sunday and his run he had back in his rookie year against the Chargers, where he ran 75 yards for a touchdown to the same side of the field? And they did a chop up of like the first second and a half of the New England run with the first second and a half of the Charger run. And they kind of went back. The whole run's like maybe 8 or 9 seconds, right? They chopped back and forth like 4 or 5 times. It's incredible how identical the two plays look in the cutup.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty wild.
I think in comparison to, somebody asked me to do this for a video.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video during training camp where I kind of showed Damian Pierce's hesitancy on a play, on a zone run play to the right, that where he just, the blocking wasn't perfect, but there was a lane. It was just Damian was too late to take that lane. That touchdown run was exactly the same. Not exactly the same, but in a lot of regards, it was not perfectly blocked. There were 3 unblocked guys on that play. But because they'd gotten the linebackers running, and because Damian could see that the one linebacker had overrun the cutback lane, he just hit it, you know, and he said, run towards the smoke. That's exactly what happened. And a defensive tackle who was unblocked didn't get a good shot on him. The linebacker was out of position. And that's the decisiveness that we hadn't really seen out of Damien in the zone running game. So that was really exciting.
Good to see.
And for him to get the feel for it and to have a couple of successful runs where he made the decision quickly and it worked. Yeah, I think there's definitely something to build on there.
All right, two big wide receiver trades yesterday. How do these impact the Houston Texans? And how do these trades compare to what the Texans did bringing in Stephon Diggs? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.